Today's episode is brought to you by the University of Nevada, Las Vegas's Department of Art.
Yes, and you know it. We both know that place, and we're happy. We're happy to talk about it today.
Alumni right here, en vivo, UNLV. We hope we're making you proud.
That's right. And right now, it's that season when everybody's preparing those applications. And UNLV MFA Art Program, which starts in the fall of 2021, is not the exception.
That's right. So, okay. I know we've all had time to think about it. What do I want to do with the rest of my life? I know there's a lot of creative people listening to this podcast that are thinking about going to grad school. Well, guess what, Mimi? This is your sign. The call for applications is right now. Deadline is February 1st. Now, the UNLV Department of Art invites self-directed artists and designers to apply for the Fall 2021 MFA program in art. The three-year Master of Fine Arts is studio-based and research-focused with an emphasis on these are big words. You're going to learn all of these in grad school. Interdisciplinary, community engagement, and professional development. Right, Babs?
Yes, each MFA student is provided with studio space, ooh, graduate assistantships in teaching, research, and professional development, financially support, and advanced students who have rare opportunities to engage in cutting-edge research. They also contribute to the development of curriculum, manage studios and shops, and work alongside community members, local organizations, and other departments on campus.
Through academic and public programming, the Department of Art collaborates with UNLV's Marjorie Barrick Museum of Art. Shout out to them! And a network of campus galleries and the College of Fine Arts. Okay, listen. What are you into? They got it, okay? They got photography. They got ceramics. They got sculpture. They got painting. They site-specific installation, girl, drawing, printmaking, performance, intermedia, graphic design, digital art, you name it, okay?
And you know, like, lately UNLV is getting all this attention because of its performance program. Mm-hmm. So if you're an artist that wants to express yourself through the performing arts, you best believe that this is the right department for you. And for all of those people that think that Las Vegas is not an art destination,
shut the hell
I'm
up,
sorry.
Okay?
That's right.
Sit your ass down and shut the hell up, because guess what we got around here? Okay, are you into aliens? We got Area 51, okay? you can do a whole art pro. You can do a whole thesis show on that.
And you know, the whole thing is that people don't think of Vegas like that, but because it's like a smaller community and there's like fewer spaces, you get to shine. Because if you were in the middle of like New York, LA, Chicago, it's a little bit difficult because everybody's doing the same thing. So Las Vegas and UNLV, if you want to do art, it's your best bet.
Yeah. Not only Area 51 in the area. I was just kidding, but I'm not kidding. It's true. You can team up, you know, with different organizations like the Believer Magazine, the Believer Festival, which we're really proud of here, Black Mountain Institute, the Bellagio Gallery of Fine Art, Michael Heiser's Double Negative. Come on. See, Hoover Dam, Meow Wolf. I might have to cut that out. Okay, sorry. But you know what I mean. We talk about it on the show in context of Latinos Who Lunch. Okay, I've been to Double Negative so many times. There's a lot of land art. The Neon Museum. Shout out to the Neon Museum. They're looking for a new director.
Shout out to you.
Seven Magic Mountains. Oh my gosh, there's so much. And if you like nature, you know I talk about nature all the time on this show. Girl, we got Red Rock, Valley of Fire, Gold Butte. Okay, there's so much.
And if you're wondering, but who the hell came out of UNLV's art department? Well, guess what, Mimi?
What?
You're listening to them.
Oh, wow. Yes. So Google it, locas. We're going to put the link in our bio. But if you want to go to the website, you can go to www.unlv.edu/art. More specifically, if you want to look at the program, go to unlv.edu/degree/MFA-art. You're not going to remember that, so we'll put it in the show notes, okay?
Just Google MFA art call applications and you'll find
this
it.
This ad is already long enough. Shout out to the UNLV Art Department, MFA program. Some of my best friends have gone through the program, and they are brilliant artists. It's a cool place to be if you want teaching experience, if you want a beautiful studio. They got it all, okay?
Todo, todo, todito, todo.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, art history too, huh? We didn't even mention that. There's so much. There's so much. Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos for Lunch.
The podcast where we talk about important things like...
Is there some reason that my coffee isn't here? Has she died or something?
Hello, hello, hello. Wow, how are you, Babs?
Con mucha cafeína en las venas. ¿Y tú qué show?
Yes, me too. Me too. I wanted this to be high energy for the last episode of 2020.
Where's my Adderall?
Can you believe it?
Hijo de su madre. It was a year. I can't. You know, like, yeah. Mil cosas me han pasado personally, and nothing tragic, just like my appearance. One of them is losing my hair. So 2020 was a year cuando me quedé pelón. That's what I remember 2020 by.
Wow. Well, you know, it could be worse, okay?
It could be worse.
And you could really lean into that, you know, lean into the zaddy Babelito, okay?
It's happening all around. Believe me, I'm working on it.
All right, did you start wearing already, like, the Cuban shirts? ¿Cómo se llaman?
Pues siempre, ya te la sabes. Pelonarme, working out only my chest and not the rest of my body. You know the aesthetic.
You're just going to have really big titties.
Enormous.
That's right. You're going to be one of those gays. Okay, I see you, Babs. Right. I see you. How you been?
It's good. Just here. Wrapping up things. I'm getting ready to move again, starting to pack. But nothing special. I've been working in a really cool project. It's a paper where I'm making all these comparisons between all this homesteading people in the 19th century. Like in 1862, there was an act that passed where the government is like, all this land that we stole from the Mexicans and Native Americans, it's all yours. Just sit on it for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And the rhetoric of those laws, the images along those laws coincide with like Mexican paintings against Native Americans of the 18th century. So I'm bridging and making those connections, and I'm finishing with Western movies. So all the racist Western movie watching that I did for like 2 years, it's actually paying off. It's super interesting how to see cycles of conquest that although we can talk about the 16th century, in the 18th century, in the 20th century, you think it's completely different, it's different technologies. Bitch, hate always works the same way, no matter where you see it, where you hear it from, and what technology you're using. So that's what it's been occupying my mind. That, and as I said before, a lot of fucking tamales. ¿Y tú qué show?
Oh, girl. Oh, you know, the holiday season is my favorite season because of tamales, okay? And, you know, this Christmas was a little sad, I'm not going to lie. I didn't spend it with my family because, you know, I don't fuck with anti-maskers, so. And I have a couple in my, just a couple. I have a huge family, but it just takes a couple to ruin it for everybody, okay?
That's right.
But I spent a beautiful Christmas with my friends, my chosen family that get COVID tested before we get together, okay?
Okay.
In the desert. It was a beautiful Christmas. I love them so much. And yeah, I can't wait to ring in the new year, because we got to prepare ourselves. Because just like I said in 2019, I said, you thought 2019 was bad? Wait till 2020 and look what happened, bitches. So you better strap in for 2021, because it ain't going to get better. You know that campaign, it gets better, honey? It gets worse, okay?
It's the thing is,
you better believe it. I'm sorry.
Dale, dale, dale.
I don't know. I was going to make a joke. Like, I don't... I'm just like mentally trying to prepare myself for this year, because remember everybody was saying 2020 is going to be my year, and I just don't want to, I just don't want the world to crumble, and you know, the aliens are coming, 5G, you know, Joe Biden, who knows what that motherfucker's going to do. We still got to remember, like, yes, Trump is out of the White House. He's going to be out of the White House, but Joe Biden is still an old white man, and he's still going to wreak havoc on us all. So the work is not done.
It's the Clintons disfrazados de otro white mask. It's the same shit. So fucking tired. Pero también es like 2020 prepare us for the rest of our lives, bitch, because like this is the way. Like pandemics are going to become more common. Like, and you know, like God. Some people are like, fuck that shit. Like hurricanes are the ones that are the things that are going to ruin us. Like, ya nos echamos el planeta, güey. Ya valió madre. Ya entreguense todos. Like, you know, it's just what it is. So we have, this is a new normal and you have to fucking embrace it and like help others. And that's it. Nada más. Ni modo. Sin chillar. Ya valió.
What a positive way to end the new year. I mean, sorry. What a positive way to end 2020. What have you been up to, Babs? What have you been eating, Latino Who Lunches?
Well, a lot of holiday food.
Tell me,
with my parents, we actually made, you know, like, lo mismo de siempre, but I love it, which is brisket,
yes.
Pavo. Brisket is a very, like, northern thing. For my family, cuando era a special occasion, it was like, ooh, vamos a hacer un brisket. Like, it was like this whole thing where, like, you will marinate it for fucking days in un jugo de tomate y cebolla, like all this stuff. And then you just cook it for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. To like, se te deshace, güey, en la boca. And and then, you know, like tamales, todo lo mexicano, ya te lo sabes. And with my adopted Ramos family, we went fancy. You best believe we had risotto and all the stuff. That's because my cuñado, he's a chef. So, like, they will indulge me in this type of shit that my family will be like, ay, no, guacala, ¿por qué quieres hacer eso? Like, if I go to my family and be like, hey, let's have a balsamic vinegar reduction salad and, like, a fancy this and a fancy that. And mi papá primero, he's like, ¿y las tortillas? That will be his first question. And my mom will look into it, and my sister will be like, no me gusta el queso, and mi otra hermana will be like, no me gusta la cebolla. So it's like, fuck you, I will just make something, you know, like the traditional. And with the other side of the family is like, nope, let's experiment, let's look online, let's go to Etsy, let's go to YouTube, let's go to fucking bonappetit.com. Shout out to them, because they don't know what the fuck to do anymore with their lack of diversity. And we prepared a very fancy, fancy, fancy dinner. So it was fun. It was cool. What about you?
Oh, you know, the standards, just eating and eating. My favorite shit is buñuelos, okay, for Christmas. I'm not going to lie. And my family does them like northern Mexican style, where they just make, they're like tortillas grandes, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was watching Chicano Eats the other day, and they do it how, you know how they stamp it? Like that's like a circular metal, almost like a cattle prod, but it's like a beautiful, like, round design.
Yes.
And they put it in the dough, like in the watery, not the dough. It's like a, ¿cómo se llama? Like mix, you know? See, and then the batter. That's what,
the batter.
That's the word.
Batter,
that's
yes,
the word.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God. I need to watch Food Network again. I forgot all my cooking vocabulary. My word. They put it in the batter, and then they put it right in the oil, and they make these beautiful, almost like snowflake, you know, designs with the buñuelos. Those are cute, but they're not, they're like, I don't know. I don't get the same satisfaction from that old nasty crunch of the northern Mexican ones. You know what I mean? Remember your, oh my God, I remember your tia, your madrina, right? She made buñuelos. I don't,
you know, to
those
this
had
day,
too much lard, girl. I can't do to, it.
You know, but, to this day, that's become one of my fondest memories in Juarez because I grew up eating them. And to sit there and watch her make them for us fresh was like, to me, was so significant.
I'll never forget it. It was, they were so good and made with love, you know? That was so nice. That was so nice.
But the buñuelos that you're talking about, it reminds me, the first time I had them like that was student, because I actually had a holiday party for all my students in my house.
Oh, the fancy kind?
Yes.
Yeah. The bimbo kind?
Exactly. Esos meros, así los chiquitos. And she brought them in like a very fancy box. I got so drunk. I gave them so much. I gave her so much. Shout out to you, Mariela. I gave her so much. I'm like, you didn't do this. These are too perfect. But I had no idea how they made them. Now I know. Also, shout out to her. She was nominated for the best thesis, master thesis in all of the school of UIC. And she fucking won. A thesis directed by Babelito won a fucking award for the whole entire school for 2020. I'm so proud of Mariela. But anyway, yes, that's where I tried. And she said that's how they make them in Michoacán. So maybe like it is a regional thing that like in the north they eat them a certain way, and I don't know, like, but yes, buñuelos is, I love all buñuelos, pero los buñuelos de mi madrina, los que tú te comiste, uff, those are those. Yo le hablo cada año y le digo que me mande, pero like right now nobody's traveling, so she cannot do it.
Speaking of cattle prods, you know I love cult shit, like documentaries about cults. Do you know
¿Cómo se llama con esta italiana?
Leah Remini?
La de Leah Remini.
Leah Remini is one of my favorite drag queens. She's so fabulous. Oh my God.
She's the best part of J-Lo.
Yeah, she is J-Lo's best friend. Shout out to our problematic faves. But, Scientology and the Aftermath, her docuseries, is now on Netflix, so you can watch it.
I have to watch.
It's a lot, girl. Be ready. But I've been obsessed with Nexium cult. Do you know about Nexium?
Mm-mm,
honey. Don't even Google it if you don't want to get into it, because it's a lot.
Hijo de su madre.
Basically, it's like, you know, like most cults and religions, honestly, don't tell anybody, but it's like, you know, they're built as like a self-help organization or like a to build a better business, you know?
Yeah.
And it's this cult that literally like, it's not even old. It like this, all this went down in like the last eight to 10 years. Okay. And there's an HBO documentary and a documentary on Stars. The HBO one is called The Vow, and the one on Stars is called Seduced. I recommend watching The Vow first. It's really slow. A lot of people complain that it's too slow, but I enjoyed it. You can watch it at 1.25 speed if you don't want to wait that long.
My students watching my classes be like,
Me listening to you on Latinos Who Lunch be like, so I don't know what just draws me to these things. I think growing up like in the evangelical Christian church, like I can relate to a lot of it. So it's just like, I've just been obsessed with learning about these cults, reading about them. And I just love that they're being exposed right now, because the internet is such a powerful tool and I think it's one of the examples of how the internet can be a positive thing in a time right now where the internet is responsible for a lot of evil, like when it comes to these like Facebook and YouTube conspiracies that are just like fucking up the world. Like
I feel like we can do a whole, we should have listeners send some of their favorite conspiracy theories, and we'll just deconstruct them, because there's some ones that I just don't understand.
You know what? Stay tuned, because I'm going to recommend a conspiracy podcast at the end of the show, okay, that I've been loving. And anyway, yeah, this Nexium cult is wild, because this like fucking hobbit that runs Keith Raniere, who ran this cult with his right-hand partner, Nancy. I forgot her last name, but it's wild. You just gotta watch. I don't want to give it away too much, but like, oof. There's hypnosis involved. There's also like within the organization, there's other organizations, and one of them is like a all women's organization, and it ends up being that woman's organization is like a sex kind of cult situation happening. Okay. There's like people from Hollywood involved. There's like British royalty involved. The Dalai Lama is involved. The heiresses to like a gin company. That's how they. It's insane. Anyways, I'm thinking about this because 2021 is gonna be the year that people get exposed, honey. Just fucking
you think
wait.
So?
Yes, I'm thinking about Ghislaine Maxwell and the whole Epstein thing. Like, shit is gonna go down. Shit is gonna go down. I can
about time.
Mark my words. If the aliens don't come down and fuck us up, that's what I'm saying. Hold on to your britches, motherfuckers, because 2021 is gonna be a wild one. Okay,
you know, like I don't know if this is related, but when you said Hollywood people are involved, like Hollywood people are always so involved. Son tan pendejos. But yesterday, you know, like I was about to turn in, you know, my anime, like at the end of the day, just watch one or two episodes before I go to bed. And then there was a commercial like Kristen Wiig on the Jimmy Fallon show. I had to sit there because I don't have cable, whatever. Listen to this like white man say the driest fucking jokes. The only good thing about that show, it's The Roots. But I was like, fuck it. Like, I love Kristen Wiig, you know? Like, I actually watch like reruns of her on Jimmy Fallon because she like does different she's funny. Pero ya valió madre, güey. She came out, her forehead was not moving, she was not funny anymore. She kept talking about how like fancy her training was about for Wonder Woman, and it's just like it's funny because whenever I give the benefit of the doubt to one of these fucks, you know, when I give the benefit of the doubt to like even like a Latino person that probably made it big, like the system always gets them. And the whole time I'm like, that's it. Ya la perdí. Even though she's from fucking SNL. But, you know, like outside of SNL, she was doing like cookie weird movies. She was still like this white comedian that I will follow whatever she did. But every single time, aunque sea Latino, like it doesn't matter who you are. Like the second you make it big in that industry is gonna fuck you up. And it was just like, it was so annoying because I was like, okay, I guess I'm done with her. And she didn't do anything wrong, but it's just like, not even because visibly, because she just, her face wasn't fucking moving, but there was something about her that was gone. Like there was a spirit of her, like not giving a fuck, you know, type of like comedian spirit that is gone. But it's that's the nature, you know, that's the nature of the fucking business, and it's gross.
Yeah, girl, I haven't watched Jimmy Fallon in so long. I think he's not funny at all. He's a really
every
bad
time
host.
I see him, I think of you. Not but because you, when he first came out, I think we talked about it in the podcast, and you talked about white mediocrity. You said if you want to know how white mediocrity looks like, watch that show. And every time I see him, and I never watched the show, but this time I sat down and waited for Kristen Wiig, and I just keep thinking, I'm like, this is how white mediocrity looks like. It was like so dry, not funny, dumb jokes. Ugh, and people still love him. I don't understand.
Yeah, people still like SNL too, girl. So I don't know. Shout out to Bo and Yang. At least there's people of color still on the show, and Ego,
right.
Or Ego, whatever her name is. But anyway, oh my gosh. Shout out to Dionne Warwick too. This is her time to shine. Dionne Warwick is on Twitter now, and it's the best thing ever. Okay.
Nice.
What else? Oh my God. The only saving grace about the Jimmy Fallon show is I've heard some tea that he's a raging alcoholic. So if you watch the show, he's usually really drunk. So he's like, you can kind of see in his face, you know, that he's just like trying to get through it, which is,
you know,
that's really fucked up. But I'm like, well, at least that kind of makes sense, you know.
I think what's, if I was to have to watch that show, which I don't, it's just because of the banter with the Roots, because they,
oh yeah, so
they don't
good.
Give a fuck, and they're just like over it, and you can tell even like when they playing the drums and she's like pa-pum, kind of like, okay, we have to do this, we're getting paid, this is how I'm fucking paying for the Brooklyn Bowl, like keep going.
Oh man, I miss the days of Conan O'Brien. Bring back that white, the whitest of the whites. All right, let's take a little break, and then we'll be right back with listener letters. Health is wealth, Babalito. And 2021, I'm going to be fucking rich, okay? And I'm not only talking about, you know, pulmonary health with this fucking virus still on these streets, but I'm also talking about mental health and, of course, reproductive and sexual health, all right? And to help us here, we have Planned Parenthood.
That's right. In these moments of uncertainty, when sometimes we don't even want to get out of the house, and when you don't want to just sit there in a waiting room, well, guess what, Mimi? Planned Parenthood's got you covered. As a leader in using new technologies to provide high-quality healthcare in ways that fit your life.
Through Planned Parenthood's virtual appointments, you can get high-quality, affordable care your way by phone or video. Trusted providers will listen, give information, and support you in all of your healthcare decisions.
Planned Parenthood's telehealth appointments are high quality, affordable, and most importantly, they're private, just like in-person visits. Whether you need help with birth control, a prescription refill, or the other sexual or reproductive care services, skip the waiting room and get the care you need when you need it.
Planned Parenthood takes the stress out of healthcare and is ready when you are. Check out plannedparenthood.org/lunch to learn more and book a virtual appointment.
That's plannedparenthood.org/lunch. Que no se les olvide.
Mm-hmm. OMG, Babs. What will we do without our madrina? La madrina de Ramos, la madrina de la cerveza, la madrina del vestido,
la de madrina... la caguama.
Oh, la madrina del DJ. Oh, we got to thank all of our madrinas, madrines out there for helping Latinos Who Lunch. You can be part of the LWL fam by supporting us on Patreon. There's different levels on there, and our madrinas are the ones that support us the most. And we're going to start by thanking Alejandra G.
Shout out Alejandra, and also to Alexandra N.
Alfredo R.
Ali N.
Alison R.
Alonso R. R.
Amanda V.
Amarelis.
Ana B.
Ana H. A.
Andrea. Oh my God. Andrea, wow. H.
Burke. Oh no, that's the next one. Andrea. Stupid. Q. Burke.
Annette R. Burke.
Arlene P.
Ayla R.
Aisia R.
Carlos M.
Caroline K.
Casey P.
Christian G.
Daisy M.
Daisy Z.
Dana G. B.
David E. Shout out.
David R.
Dionis O.
Dora B.
Eduardo V.
Emily W.
Erika T.
Erika M.
Gabriela S.
Gloria D.
Hazani R. Ooh, I like that name.
Mm-hmm. Hilary N. Namaste.
Indira H. E. Shout out to you.
Iselt Santos.
And last but not least, for now, Jeanette GV.
That's right. We're going to thank the rest of our madrinas, madrines, madrinos, however you identify. We're going to thank you at the end of the show before the recommendations. Again, right. latinoswholunch.com/donate for more information on how you could support this podcast.
Dee 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 dee. Psh.
And we're back. Okay, let's try to get to some more listener letters.
Before we start, though, I want to give a big shout out to Annette Rodriguez. She's been in our podcast talking about lynching images and all kinds of things. But her family, like her sisters, her mom, they're listening. They're like Latinos Who Lunch listeners. And the sister listened to our top telenovelas. So the mom and the sister are like, okay, so let's watch Mirada de Mujer. Dude, she started sending me texts about how, like, the way that the mom gets ready, because she uses this as an excuse to learn to learn Spanish. So she translated the whole entire song before they begin to watch it, and then she uses words throughout the episodes where they can learn. So she makes lists, she scans them, she facts them. It's like a whole entire thing. So I told her, I say, please, 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 please record, even if it's a 5-minute session of this Spanish lessons through Mirada de Mujer, and we'll play them here in the podcast. So cross your fingers and she's able to do that, because the shit that is coming out of those sessions is patrimony of the humanity. It's so, 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 so funny. So shout out to Annette. Thank you. And the whole family for listening.
Yeah, that's why I read the Patreon listeners in Spanish, so I can practice my alphabet. Okay, please send your emails to asklwlpod@gmail.com, and feel free to send us a voice memo at the same email or dial 512-333-0471. All right, Babs, you want to read the first one?
Let's start with our Whitinos.
Hey, Whitinos in the house. Hey, hey, Whitinos in the house. Hey. Okay, go ahead.
This is email from Aaron, or should I say Aaron? Latino who struggles with heritage. Hi, my name is Aaron, and I only recently found your podcast and so appreciate your voices, perspective, and humor. When I get tired of listening or reading the news or seeing my white friend's social media posts saying the same things over and over, I turn on one of your episodes and you give me a feeling of warmth and familiarity. So thank you. Ya cuando no le queda otra cosa, ¿verdad? I'm a third generation Latino who has always struggled with my heritage. Here we go. My parents did not raise us with strong Mexican culture and did not speak to us in Spanish. They only spoke Spanish to each other when they wanted to keep a secret from us kids. They never spoke to us about race issues, and our background would only come up randomly. As we grew older, our circles became more and more wide at schools and at churches, etc. I believe my parents' fear stemming from their upbringing and from their parents' upbringing has led me and my siblings to be very watered-down versions of Mexican culture. And I hate that. Now, as my siblings and I are struggling to get back to our Mexican heritage and be proud of it, my parents seem to be moving further and further away by voting for and supporting Trump, defending him and his prejudiced, racist immigration policies, and rolling their eyes or even discouraging my beliefs of equality for BIPOC peoples. I just don't understand how a family that is only here because of immigrants can support these ideals. Have either of you struggled with the whitewashing of your culture directly from your own family? Have you dealt with it? Gracias por todo lo que haces, Aaron.
Wow, Aaron. Yeah, of course. I mean, we talk about it all the time on the show. White supremacy runs deep, baby. And if you are a light-skinned Latino or, you know, a second, third-generation Mexican, you know, sometimes your family didn't teach you Spanish to protect you. They didn't want you to stick out, you know? And as a white Latino whose first language was actually Spanish, I understand. I understand why my mom named me Justin, you know? And, like, I remember being ridiculed in school for not being able to speak English. And it was hard. And sometimes I was mad about that because I was, why didn't my mom teach me English, you know? Like, I had to learn on my own watching TV, basically, right? Because they weren't teaching me shit at school. And so, you know, there's so many layers to this. And I come from a family or two different families that are, you know, we have very like light-skinned people in our family. And there's definitely colorism within Latinx communities. Like that's without a doubt. And if anybody's denying that, that's, oh my God, I was watching this Instagram live with this Brazilian woman who was like, I don't know, I don't really see racism in Brazil. And I'm like, bitch, what?
Los brasileños, way.
A white Brazilian woman saying this. And I'm like, bitch, have you heard of the favelas? Have you heard of the brancacion that happened in Brazil? That started in Brazil? Have you heard? But anyway, it's like people, and this is for all these fucking Trump supporters, they choose to ignore things that are right in their fucking face because white supremacy rules, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's easier to go along with it than to fight it. It makes your life a lot easier, okay? Yeah. And so that's why your parents are doing that. It's easier for them to willfully be ignorant and not support the movement because it's less work for them because they're lazy, okay? And I'm sorry to reinforce the stereotype of the lazy Mexican, but that's what that is. It's like they don't want to they don't want to think about the complexities of colorism and of their own racism because it's overwhelming, so they rather just not deal with it. And so that's one layer of it. The other layer to it is you not thinking that you're Mexican enough because you don't speak Spanish or because you don't eat conchas or because you don't have a, you know,
a unibrow
and a mustache. Like, fuck that. Having those qualities, watching novela, you know, like the dumb, not dumb, but like, the shit that we talk about on Latinos Who Lunch all the time. Like, girl, you have Mexican heritage. You're fucking Mexican. That's it. Huepa, huepa, right? I don't know why. But it's like, you don't... People like to quantify this like authentic Mexican identity through the symbols and through the pop culture that we're said we're supposed to engage with and like. Shout out to the Selena series.
Check out Patreon for more episodes.
And people that are like, oh my God, all you guys do is hate on Selena. I'm like, no, like... This is our representation, and we're the ones that can be critical of it. Like, we shouldn't hold it up so high and valid. You know, like, our art can also get better. We shouldn't just settle, right? Anyway, I'm talking about a lot of different things, but you get the gist, right, Babs?
Yes, and this is el pedo. Like, what does Mexican look like to you? You know what I'm saying? And I think that's also part of the crisis sometimes for second, third, fourth generation Mexicans, that you might be exposed to a version of Latinidad through Mecha. You
Mecha.
Might be exposed.
Mecha, que más aplauda.
Mecha, que más aplauda. Le mando.
Le mando my $5 donation every month. Shout out to mi gente. Like, I'm part of that group.
You get exposed to this versions of Latinidad through school or social media or popular culture, and that's just like the top of the surface, you know what I'm saying? It's so complicated. So I think that mentality of like, I want to be more Mexican needs to be reevaluated, because it's, you know, like, we talked about it here, like, we're not one single thing. We're not a monolith. But the algorithms of Latinidad are getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. That's why we're fucking complaining about Selena, because we've been complaining about Selena shit for like 5 years, right? And because there's not enough critical approaches to this, we're probably going to get another one in 10 years. You know what I'm saying? And although I do have to say that there's more and more voices that seem to coincide with the shit that we say here in the Latinos Who Lunch podcast, is it because I'm just now paying attention or because there actually things are changing? So that's kind of here. That's kind of nice to hear. But... Hijo de su madre, like, it's, as you say, like, it could have been a form of survival from your parents, you know what I mean? And it's very, 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 very complicated. And the thing about it is that it all comes down to that. What we started talking in the beginning of the podcast is like all these conspiracy theories and shit have pushed a lot of people that you don't think they're going to go that way. And then when you add to that the patriarchy and white supremacy, which is the perfect, you know, like formula. So I have not, in my direct family, I have not dealt with that. But I do have extended family that, just like we mentioned in the last episode, I just cut from Facebook. I don't have any time for that. So all of that to say is that you do have to be patient, not only with your family, but with yourself, because it seems like you have to reevaluate a lot of things because the next generation is coming and it's up to you to como implantar estos valores, you know, but in a more nuanced and critical way, because otherwise you're going to make a bunch of friditos, and that's not what you want to that's not what we want to foment. So I don't know, it's a complicated question. It's very nuanced, but I really hope that you at least can have the conversations that you need to with your family, you know.
And if you really want to get into it, girl, like, okay, defending white supremacy, prejudice, racism, anti-immigration, that all sounds pretty post-colonial Mexico to me. They're pretty Mexican if you really want to consider that.
Right? Those are the values in which Mexico was created as well. I don't know if you've ever been to Mexico.
Yeah, those are Mexican values as well. People like to pretend that they're not, but let's get real, okay? That's the tea, Christine. And so I think maybe you may be also asking, like, how can I responsibly get more in touch with my Mexican heritage? Well, look inward, right? Like, look at your family. Go visit where your family's from. Because I see that a lot, too, is, like, a lot of people will just start doing the stereotypical Mexican thing, whatever that can mean to you, whatever that means to you, you know? And okay, that's fine. I don't know how old you are, but if you're younger, you know, it's a time for self-discovery and finding your roots, as they say, which is important. I would try to do that in a, I don't want to say in a genuine way, but like in a very real way, like, where's your family from? Go visit that place or go check out books from the library or Google those places and get to know like your own personal family history, maybe, and that will start opening doors. And maybe you'll find a relative that's like that would really like to share old recipes or family stories with
history,
you.
History, yeah.
And that history will make you feel closer to your heritage in a very real way. Because speaking Spanish doesn't make you more Mexican than a Spanish speaking Mexican. Like, that's still the language of a colonizer. Like, who cares, right?
Right.
It'll be easier for you to get around Latin America if you speak Spanish, obviously.
But nobody wants to travel right now.
Yeah, but girl, you ain't traveling. Go get the Libby app, okay? Hashtag not sponsored. Anyway, I know, Aaron, it's complicated. And you can't really change your parents overnight. But I think you can give them a little bit of grace, not too much, because sounds like they're hella racist. But don't let them get away with that bullshit.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, try to understand where they're coming from. I mean, if those were my parents, I would be very resentful and hold a lot of grudges against them. Let that go. Make more space for love and actually learning about history, and it'll work wonders on your mental health. Okay.
Nice.
All right, next one is from Blanca. 100 días para enamorarse. Okay. See, I can't even speak Spanish. Look at me. Okay. Coronavirus. Okay. Have you seen 100 días para enamorarse? It's a telenovela on Telemundo. One of the characters is transgender. Is a transgender young adult man coming to the realization that he is trans. They do protests, explore when family members resist the change, etc. The show has cringeworthy, cheesy moments as well. However, it has been great to see someone from the LGBTQ community have layers and depth and not just used as a funny gay best friend. Also, my mom and I watched the show together and it opened up a great convo where she admitted she was also very confused and identified with the grandpa. We had a discussion and she quickly came around, and every day we watched the show, she asked more questions. It was a really cool way to bond. Have you ever had those moments with family members where a show opened up a discussion? What was it? Who was it with? Con amor, su madrina Blanca. Shout out to you, madrina. Thank you for that question. What do you think, Babs?
This is one of the few examples where, like, pop culture can actually have a positive a positive result when you actually indulge with it or engage with it for the sake of conversation and dialogue, you know? So that's cool to see that. I can already imagine the cringeworthy moments, but, like, if that opened up, you know, this conversation that was very important, this is really, really, really cool. Have I had that? Maybe, yes. It's giving me mama way. She's, like, obsessed with Netflix. She watches series, like I don't know, like, she watches, like, 2 series a week. It's, like, it's a lot. One time she was watching this show. It was something Narcos. I have no idea. Not the Narcos show, but, like, something. And one of the characters was just like insultando a la mujer, a su mujer, like in a really horrible way. And I was like, "Mom, like, why are you watching this shit? Like, why is he talking? Like, why are you doing this?" "Ay, Emanuelito, pues es que son narcos, así hablan ellos." And she continued to watch the show. So it's like, It's so interesting, because there's been times with my mom where she's like, "Oh, you know, I watched this show in the Middle East, and did you know that, like, women are regarded like this?" And even though, like, all those fucking novelas, Latinas that take place in the Middle East are orientalist as fuck, at least, again, for the sake of dialogue and conversation, it has started a little bit of, like, "Oh, yes, mom, yeah, like, things are complicated. This is the religion, and this is what's going on," you know? Like, so she at least is interested in thinking about other cultures, which perhaps if it wasn't for these orientalist fantasies, she would have not. At the end of the day, they're still orientalist and racist and fucked up. But it is important to at least, hey, if a novela is what starts the dialogue, and that goes to Aaron, and that goes to, like, all these other listener letters where they're struggling to have those conversations with their families. If a fucking telenovela is what makes the dialogue start, then so be it, you know? So I think it's a beautiful thing, Blanca. I don't know. Do you have any experiences like that, Fabi?
I mean, it's not a TV show, but I think I've mentioned it on the show before. I did this art show with my grandma, and one of my friends showed up, and they're non-binary, and I could tell my grandma, you know, like, you could see them looking, my grandma looking at them and, like, trying to figure out. And finally, so it was my, like, non-binary friend, and then also shout out to my friends in Colorado, but also a lesbian couple. Mm-hmm. That were there, like, helping me with the show. And then we were having so much fun that at the end of the day, I invited everybody to go to the buffet, the Chinese buffet, with us, because, you know, Mexicans love Chinese buffets. That's just a fact, okay? And so I'm like, and my grandma's really picky. Like, she only eats, like, highly manufactured fast food or, like, buffet style, because she's kind of picky, you know? And yeah. So I'm like, great, we're gonna go. So we all went, like, it was like 10 of us, and most of the people there were queer or queer adjacent, you know? And you know, my friend had facial hair and lipstick, and, you know, it was just, like, very apparent that they were non-binary or mm-hmm. queer or whatever, gender non-conforming. And at the end of the night, my grandma had a lot of questions, and she said a lot of offensive things, mostly about the queer couple, because she was like, "Well, she's so pretty." She said something like, "She's so pretty. Why does she dress like that?" And I'm like, "Well, I think she's pretty dressed like that. Like, what's wrong with her, you know, wearing jeans and a shirt or a sweater, you know what I mean?" And she's like, "Yeah, you're right." You know, so, like, and then with my non-binary friend, I had to explain pronouns. I had never talked to her about pronouns before. And I thought it was going to be more difficult to talk to her about it. But since she spent the whole day with us and got to know them and, like them because, hello, these are Justin's friends or Favi's friends, sorry, like helping him with the art show. Like, they're good people, you know? Right. And I saw a shift in the way that she thought about people because the only thing she's seen is transphobic and homophobic shit on TV in her novelas. Mm-hmm. So to spend an entire day with queer people and share a meal.
They're normal.
Like, oh, duh, they're just like people just like us, you know? So yeah. It was interesting. I had to have like serious conversation. I'm like, so what's the... Like, why do you care about their genitals? You know, like the dumb questions that people get. She's like, I don't know. You're right. It doesn't matter. You know, like, right. Who cares? And so, and, you know, people are hung up on the pronouns and how language, you know, same with the word Latinx. Like, oh, my God, everything changes. I'm like, yeah, bitch. Language evolves. Like, we're not speaking with a lisp like we were, like they are in Spain. Like, we speak Spanish differently. Like, things fucking change. Get with the times, you know? Oh my God. Oh my God. I just watched this beautiful, sexy, very artistic Argentinian gay film yesterday. I think it's called Hawaii or something. Have you seen it? It's so slow, but it's very nice. And of course, they're like white Argentinians because that's the only people they show in movies from Argentina.
Surprise.
But what did I talk about? Why am I talking about that? Oh, one of the characters reminded me of one of the characters from Schitt's Creek, and that's why I started watching it, and then it ended up being this gay movie, which I thought was interesting. Anyway, yeah, like, oh, because in Argentina, they talk like that. They talk a little bit more like Spanish people. Yeah, I thought it was really funny.
Ooh, speaking of Argentina, anyway.
Anyway.
Part of my recommendations.
Oh, see? Look at the segue. Getting ready for the segue, baby. Yeah, so I think that's been an experience. Or like, I remember when Casa de las Flores came out, one of my tías was saying some homophobic shit about it in front of everybody. Like, ay, esa novela no me gusta. Hay muchos gays. La, la, la. And so I was just like, I fucking loved it. I just said it in front of everybody. I was like, it was a wonderful TV show. I'm going to watch it again. And I just like said it to her face like that. And she like turned red and was like embarrassed that she was being homophobic in front of me, you know?
And like, the whole thing is like, ay, pues si no te gusta, no te gusta. Just quédate fucking callado. Like,
yeah,
that's fine. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's just do one more really, really quick. Dale.
Okay, so this is from
You so much. Sorry. Thank you so much, Blanca. Great question. And I'm so happy that you and your mom are having really great conversations with that Telemundo show. Who knew?
Lily, good Christian daughter. Hola, queridos. I'm a new listener to your awesome podcast, and I want to say how grateful I am for your thoughtful work and insight. You inspire me. I'm slowly making my way through your archive, so I apologize if you've already answered this question in one of your listener letters. If you have, I'm sure I'll make my way to it eventually, but if you haven't, here's something that I will love your wisdom about. When to cut off a relationship with your parents. I'm a Colombian American born in Cali, Colombia, but moved to Miami when I was 4. Cisgender heterosexual woman who was raised in an evangelical Christian home, and I struggled to have a relationship with my parents who are sexist, homophobic, racist. Viva Florida! To add another layer to the mix, my mother verbally... my mother verbally and physically abused me as a child, and I spent many years in therapy to get a place where, as a 30-year-old, I can have a relationship with her that aligns with my needs and boundaries. Lately, with Black Lives Matter and the racial uprisings in the U.S., it has become harder and harder for me mentally and emotionally to continue having a relationship with both of my parents. I'd find myself questioning why I continue to do so. Am I simply giving to the dutiful, good Latina daughter narrative? Can I be quote-unquote good daughter without being in a relationship with my parents? I would love to hear your thoughts and recommendations. Thank you, Lily. Oof. It seems like this has been the... It's so interesting because, like, the questions change with the times, right? And it seems like this year the questions are really tied to this whole racial reckoning. And that's not necessarily from listeners, but also from the people around our listeners. So it's super, super interesting. But it's also the nature of it all. It's super complicated because for a lot of people, all of these issues and conversations are new. You know, when like maybe other families and other people have been thinking about it for longer, other families have had to deal with it since they were born, you know, yeah. And some people still cannot and don't have to and don't need to, you know. So it's interesting to see the nature of these questions. Am I simply giving into the dutiful, good Latina daughter narrative? I don't think so. I think that if you feel a compromise with your parents of because you want to take care of them as they get older, I don't see anything wrong with it. The problem right now is that the older your family members get, the harder the conversations are going to be because they function within these structures without interruptions or problems for, what, 40, 50, I'm going to say 50, 60 years, you know? So it becomes very, very, very complicated. I commend you because you have come to terms with your past, with the abuse, and you have taken steps towards it. And then on top of that, you're still giving the benefit of the doubt. And I think that's probably part of the healing process to be able to reestablish or continue a relationship when you don't have to, because it sounds like you understand your worth and it sounds like you are a great person. So I wouldn't feel guilty about pushing and trying hard, but I also know that within you, you value yourself to the point that you can step away when you have to, you know? And there's battles that you're never going to win. And it seems that this might be one of them. However, if you continue to do it, I don't think it's a bad thing. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I don't think it's a bad thing. Mm. But I'm just happy because like the tone of the voice sounds like this is a mature person that has come to terms with a lot of things and is just struggling because she wants to take care of her parents. And there is nothing wrong with that. It's not because you have to, because you're a Latina. This has nothing to do with that. It's because you're a fucking good person, you know? And you might be a better person than your parents. And understanding and coming to terms with that, that's going to be hard, you know? But I think you're doing good.
Yeah, that was actually really great advice, Babs. I don't know if I have anything to add to that. I think, you know, we talked about it on our last listener letter app with the voicemail that we got about the Trump supporting BLM denier All Lives Matter people in our mm-hmm. families that kind of shame us for trying to be decent people.
Ethical.
And, yeah. And yeah, and you know, those dutiful values, the Latinx values, right, about respecting your elders and just being quiet and calladita te ves más bonita, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And, you know, cutting off family members, even though, oh my God, I'm like thinking of a few family members that should be cut off that aren't, that hurt the family. Specifically, like men in families that are like alcoholics and abusive, and everybody just puts up with their shit. And usually, grandmas and moms pay more attention to them for some reason. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. they're just like used to these cycles of abuse.
Yeah.
That those people should have been cut off years ago, you know? I'm going to share a personal story that's like, I'm not going to say who, but a friend of mine through therapy, thankfully, you know, like cut their mother off. And the reason why they did it was because they had their own children. And once they had their own children, they could see the mother, their grandmother, right? Like repeating these cycles of abuse and psychologically, not physically, but psychologically abusing the kids when they would go, when, you know, they would need a babysitter and the mom would come over or they would drop them off. They would see even the kid at a very young age, like one or two, that this person, the mother, was already inflicting trauma on this baby that they went through. And through seeing that again, you know, and not being the person being abused and growing, they saw that I think it would just be better for everyone if they cut off their relationship. And that was really hard for them because, okay, first of all, you're cutting off a relationship with your own mother and then you're denying access to the kids to a grandmother. Like, that is a huge no-no in Latinx culture. And now, years later, we've seen these kids develop and we've seen them grow and be 100 times healthier than we were when we were their age and not as, you know, we try our best. We still inflict trauma on our kids no matter what, but like, but still, like, I'm very proud of her for doing that. And I'm going to admit it. Like, when they first told me that they were going to cut off their parent from seeing their kids, I thought it was harsh. I was like, that's a lot. Like, what? You're really going to do that? Like, I don't know. And now that I've seen the work that she's put into, you know, making sure that their kids know that it's okay to set boundaries. It's okay to say no. It's okay to have agency, you know, like your own. It's these kids are going to be fucking brilliant. They're going to be superstars.
That's right.
They're going to move through the world with such ease, floating, lighter than air. They're not going to have this fucking trauma that we grew up with weighing them down. They're going to fucking thrive, okay?
Yeah.
Because of these relationships that they cut off. So you got to look at the bigger picture sometimes, and it's really hard at the beginning, but si se puede, okay? And so, yeah, I definitely want to echo the advice you gave, Babs, and Lily. Girl, I grew up evangelical Christian too. The trauma is real, honey. You know, I'm still working past that, still to this day, okay? I cannot wait to have health insurance so I can start therapy again. And hopefully this time, not a white lady therapist. I'm trying to, okay? So, yeah, it's hard. And like I mentioned before, the people closest to you are usually the people that harm you the most. And it's all about setting boundaries and keeping it real, okay? And it sounds like that's what you're doing. Don't feel bad. You're setting yourself up for a better life, and maybe it'll make your parents a little bit more introspective and they'll realize that they need to be nicer to you.
Yes.
And who knows, maybe your relationship will get better and they'll come around too. So you never know.
And get them out of Florida. Anyway, thank you so much, Lily.
Yes. Okay. Well, oh my gosh, we did so good, Babs. We did more than one letter.
Wow,
2021. We're coming for you. Oh, wow. Okay. Are we going to do a Radio Loncha episode in January?
Yes, we are. Yes, I have chosen my favorites maybe like a month ago. So I am very excited.
So we're going to take a break next week. And if you haven't listened to our Selena recaps, they're on our Patreon. There's a few for free. And then you could just pay a dollar and binge them all. And then I'm not telling you to do this, but and then you can just unsubscribe if you want. If you want, okay? Not that I do that to other podcasts or anything. But anyways, there's Selena watch-along episodes on our Patreon, latinoswholunch.com/Patreon. /donate or Patreon. Girl, I'll put it in the fucking show notes. Búscalo, don't worry about
Google
it.
Loca.
Google it, loca. Okay, let's take a break, and then we'll be right back with some quick recomendaciones. Oh my gosh, madrinas, muchísimas gracias por todo. We couldn't do this without you. And we want to take this time to thank you all individually. And we're going to start with Jennifer H. Thank you.
Muchas gracias, Jesse S. Shout out.
Jessica, thank you.
Jessica A. Gracias.
Joe M.
Jocelyn C.
Gracias, amiga. Well, she's Salvadorian, so how would you say that? Puchicabos. Gracias. Mira, te quedó las pupusas, te quedaron. Chéveres. Nope. Nope, sorry.
That's Venezuelan.
That's Venezuelan. Te quedaron... Mira, nope, I can't do it. That's Guatemalan. Sorry. I'm going to stop. But shout out to all the Salvies in Las Vegas. And shout out to pupusas. Okay. You know that there's a pupusa emoji now?
Oh, my God. Amen.
Yeah. Jocelyn, let me know. Anyways, Judith G., thanks.
Julia M., shout out to you.
Katarina V., gracias.
Katia.
Oh, Katya, thank you. Chris and B, Chris and Berna, thank you.
Laura T, shout out.
Leah, thank you.
Lily B.
Gracias. Oh my God, I can do this. Luis J M, thank you.
Luis R, muchas gracias, amigo.
Luna M L, gracias.
María M.
It's a G.
A María. Es que el María empieza con M. María G.
What a fucking mess. María RM, gracias.
Marta G.
Michelle S.
Miguel C. Muchísimas gracias. Chusy Chic.
Miguel M.
Miranda S.
Mónica M.
Shout out to our madrine, Monix, Jade.
Knight C. Oh, thank you.
Nancy M. M.
Nancy R.
Natalia O.
Nicole Y.
Porque sí.
How do you say Y? Y?
Y.
That's so long. Why wouldn't you just come up with another word for that?
Paula B.
Rafael T. Bra! The original. The original baby AB, okay?
That's
the
right.
The original baby AB from the Selena movie. Nothing compares. Not even... Okay, sorry.
Raquel S, shout out to you.
Renato M.
N. Roberto R.
Sarah
S.
Sherry W.
Stephanie B, shout out to you. Gracias.
Oh my God. I have some news, Babs. Did you hear?
Dime.
If 2020 wasn't fucked up enough, Lindo Michoacán is closed right now because a sinkhole appeared in the restaurant. And
what?
So yes, girl. They're trying to get us, girl. They went to the best Mexican restaurant in Las Vegas and a sinkhole just appeared in the restaurant.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe? So everybody light a candle for Lindo Michoacán. It's going to be fine. They figured it out. And I think it might have been a leak or something that caused it, but everybody's fine. It sucks because they had to lay off a bunch of people, especially right now during the holidays. But, you know, Lindo Michoacán always takes care of their employees and they're the best. So we'll let you know when they reopen so you could support it. Check out Stephanie's podcast, All Rice, No Beans. Give her some love because they're going through it right now. And I miss getting the takeout from there. But they're coming back stronger than ever. Don't worry.
Shout out to you, all of you, and the best vibes. I really, really wish this fucking year end already for everybody, and especially for you all. Stephanie, muchísimas gracias.
Okay, Vanessa T.L., thank you.
Viviana S.
Yesenia S., muchísimas gracias. All right. Like I mentioned, you could help us on Patreon, patreon.com/LatinosWhoLunch. And we're back. Okay, Babs, you got any quick recs?
Yes.
Dale.
So we're going to get into it in our Radio Lonchea show. But this is a recommendation that is a long time coming. I've recommended Juana Molina in the podcast before. I used to listen to her a lot in Albuquerque, and she kind of like fell off. She came out with a new album in 2017, and I listened to it for a couple of times, and that's it. But lately, I've been texting Angelica, and we've just been, you know, like talking about music, and we were talking about our divas. And she told me, she said, the only person that doesn't do wrong in my eyes is Juana Molina. And I was like, you know what? I need to like pay closer attention. Bitch, that was 2 months ago and I'm still listening to her music every day. It's all loops, but every single album is so Brilliant. And this year, a month ago or so, came out with a live album, Live in Anormal, A-N-R-M-A-L, Anormal, because that's the name of the festival in Mexico. So she recorded this live session in Mexico, and she redid some of her songs in a punk style, which also was part of an LP that she came out with this year. So some of her, last year, some of her like most successful songs, whatever that means, she made them into like rock punk music. So she actually plays them live in this live album. It's so good. If you're not familiar with the catalog of Juana Molina, she's Argentinian. She's the weirdest lady to look at YouTube. Her videos are so strange, girl. They're so weird. I cannot get enough of it. And it's just good music. Again, the name of the album is Anormal, Live in Mexico. This is Juana Molina. If you don't know who she is, get your fucking life together and get to listening, because she's gonna change your life. And that's it.
Sweet. My recommendation. Oh, we were talking about conspiracies in the beginning. I love this new podcast called My Mama Told Me, and it's by one of my favorite comedians, Langston Kerman, and it's a podcast about black conspiracy theories. So every episode, a comedian comes on with Langston, and it's so beautiful the way that it's produced. It's like, My Mama Told Me, you know, and then it's like whatever conspiracy theory. And so it's fun because they really get into it and, you know, talk about the differences between like POC conspiracies versus like white people conspiracies and how they kind of intertwine and all of this. And it's very fun to listen to it because conspiracy theories are just a hot topic right now because of YouTube and because everybody's been bored in the house and the house bored this year. Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's just really fun for people to kind of take the piss out of that and show how ridiculous these fucking conspiracy theories are or how real they may be. Okay. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And now my TikTok is all conspiracy theories, girl. I was like, I was stuck in a duende. Did I tell you I was like watching duende videos from Central America? I'm like, how did I get here? Have you ever seen those videos with the duendes running in the background?
No, I have not.
It's so funny. I love it. And it's like obvious videos of like drones or like rats running or, you know, like different things in the background. Mm-hmm. It's so good. They're so good. They're like, and then they put it in slow motion, you know? Oh, I love it. Amazing. There's this really good one with the witch. Like there's this guy in a cave and there's like a witch. You could see a silhouette of a witch in the background and she just starts cackling and they like run like Blair Witch. Like, you know, Mexicans love that shit too. Like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So many witches, so little time.
So many chupacabras, so little time.
I know. You know the chupacabras is back, right?
Oh, I'm sure it is. There's like so many monsters that I cannot keep up.
You know the alien thing right now?
Uh-uh.
You know the government, it's like in the news. The government has actually released intel on UFOs. They're calling them something else now. This is for real. And what the experts are saying is that there's been some sort of communication between extraterrestrials and humans on Earth, and they claim that the UFO aliens haven't killed us yet or attacked us yet because basically they feel sorry for us and they feel that we are stupid and that we will not have the capacity to comprehend like an intergalactic universe with different species of aliens. So they're just going to wait. Like it's not, this is how fucked up we are on Earth. It's not worth their time to invade us.
This sounds like an episode of Rick and Morty. I don't know if I believe
this
shit.
But this is the truth. Like, look, Google it. I'm not, this is not a conspiracy. Google it, like, for real. And okay, it makes total sense. They're like, yeah, aliens are among us. And they're like, well, we're just going to wait this out because humans are not going to, can't handle, like, humans think that angels are real. Like, they're not going to, what? Like, this is too much for them. Okay. Like, winged people. Yeah. No, girl, we're whole aliens out here with whole universes and shit. Anyway.
I think they will do us a favor. Yeah. Entreguense todos.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. Anyways, thank you so much for listening, everybody. It's been a hell of a year.
That's right.
And I guess we're going to have a special announcement next year about the future of Latinos Will Lunch. Because we should probably start talking about that. So stay tuned. Be safe. Don't go outside during New Year's. Be careful. And if you can, get the vaccine. You know, like, help your families out and be kind. Give people a little bit of grace. It's been a tough year, you know. As much shit as we talk, be kind. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. All right. LatinosWhoLunch.com. Rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to podcasts.
5 stars solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa, with music by the band Balloon. That's B-A-L-U-N. Google it, locas. I'm Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
Ack, ack, ack. Bye.
Bye.